So what you gonna do, brother? We about to run wild with a style like no other. So somebody call Brodus Clay mother and tell her Richard runs on the men like Ed Lover and Doc Dre. What Scott say, what they hang on every word like it's something that the Rock say. No JR, but they talking wrestling. We bring the noise with the boys, so we Dalton Castling. So masculine, oozing machismo, mutton chop shop, Gran Turismo. No free throws, snarl hoops and heels. It's D-Bron's retirement, give you the super feels. Straight shoot, it's real. Drop a pipe bomb, get rid of the bull like the Rock's right arm. So stay calm, tranquilo, I'll go Naito and give him Destino. And we know that you chumps ain't ready for the heartbreak runs and the Cuban Jannetty. They drop it heavy, tag teaming like Teddy. Long go strong with the heat like Eddie. So steady like when Taker walked the tightrope. Spaz like Taz with the mic and a tight choke. Dirtiest player in the game with the eye poke. 1988 Macho Man on a line of coke. These other casts are a waste, they boring. Illegitimate sons like Jason Jordan. And Richard Runs never give him respect unless they going on air with a broken frickin' neck. So bounce like Papa Pump's pecs. Every time they get down, they bound to catch wreck. Y'all don't know nada, they the Okadas. You're the Washington Generals, they the Globetrotters. A whole lot of podcasts in the scene, but Richard Runs running wild is the cast of your dreams. So it seems these two is too sweet. Bullet Club pulling up with schemes to delete. So retreat, we steal, we cheat. But I never lie, I swear on these beats. And these two got some styles for you. But what you gonna do when they run wild on you?
Oh, hell yeah. It's the Big Dog Red Tires. And you're listening to the Running Wild podcast. Because if you're trying to run wild, this is the place to do it.
Do you want to let everyone know that you get it? Do you not want to be a Melvin? Well, then listen to the Running Wild podcast. And if you don't, you know what you are.
I'm the last real man, Silas Young. And if you're any kind of man, you'll be listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Hey, guys. This is Mandy Leon, and you're listening to the Running Wild podcast.
This is Sam Adonis, El Hudo de las Chicas, the CMLL, and you are listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Running Wild podcast. I'm your host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Runs.
Yes, sir.
We got a big episode today. Basically, we're just going to talk for an hour about Nikki Bella and John Cena's breakup and whether this is a work or not. I'm obviously joking. We're actually going to cover the week of WWE, although lots of our pre-show talk was about the season, the new season of Total Bellas. And Runs, I think you're not really happy with the way this is playing out on TV. Am I right?
Couldn't care less, actually.
Oh, that's actually what you said. All right. Just before we get started, I remind you that we were part of a partnership with pwpartings.com, rhworld.com, lastwordandprowrestling.com, and we're featured on Wrestling to the Max Network. All right, with all that out of the way, we have a little bit of a late edition this week. Apologies, craziness going on. However, in wrestling, I mean, I feel like we're getting a couple different things on Raw. I don't know about you, but for me, Raw wasn't the most exciting episode. I just thought that there are some things like, you know, Roman Reigns and Jinder. It seems like a different feud that I didn't think they would ever do. I didn't think this would ever happen. What do you think about the pairing of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really care for either one at the moment. So it's kind of just like, oh, okay, they're putting Roman in feud. That doesn't matter. So that's a good thing, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that this makes it easier for people to cheer Roman, because if not, they're cheering Jinder, but I don't even know. I think there's a segment of the population that will be like, nah, man, forget that. We'll even root Jinder. Like, I don't even know who they could find at this point to feud with Reigns that would get Reigns cheers.
I don't know that there's anyone.
I mean, he's a heel at this point, isn't he not? He's a modern-day heel.
I guess. He should just be officially a heel and, you know, see what happens, because this is not working. And, you know, hopefully this is taking him out of the title picture for a little bit at least. And, you know, we'll see what happens after Money in the Bank and SummerSlam or wherever they go.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of happy that Money in the Bank is not going to be four Money in the Bank matches. Like they combined them, so it's, you know, one women's, one men's. I heard rumors that there was going to be a possible tag team one, but we haven't seen anything like that build up yet. I mean, they still have a lot of time. I'm kind of surprised WWE would go this long without having a pay-per-view.
Okay.
I mean, right? I mean, it's like they're going to go a full 5 weeks without a pay-per-view or something like that? When was Backlash?
Well, now there's no SmackDown and Raw ones, so it's a lot easier.
So right now, they have, for the Men's Money in the Bank, we have Kevin Owens, Bobby Roode, Braun Strowman, Miz, Rusev, Finn Balor, and then one of the New Day. Who do you think it ends up being?
From the New Day?
Yeah.
I don't know, because you would figure it's Kofi. But, you know, just because of that, I can see them giving it to Woods to have, you know, him do some high spots, or it could be Big E if they need another strong guy. But, you know, they already have Strowman, they already have Owens, who's, you know, not going to be doing too many crazy aerial things. So, you know, Kofi or Woods would be a safe bet.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be Big E. He feels like the odd man out, definitely.
Right, but I don't really understand the inclusion of New Day unless, you know, just kind of like a tip of the cap to them, I don't know. But other than that, I thought that they put the right guys in the Money in the Bank where, you know, you're going to be rooting for one or two guys, but if anyone wins, it's acceptable.
This is a pretty good one. I mean, even I can see Roode with a briefcase.
I mean, I honestly just think it's going to be Braun and he's going to cash it in immediately. So until that doesn't happen, I can't really see anyone else with it. But, you know, like I said, if after that match it's Balor or Roode or Miz, it's okay, cool. Those guys are all, you know, in a position to cash in soon or later. So, you know, that'll be fun.
And they also, basically, there was an event, I think it was for Total Bellas, and then during that event on the red carpet, Nia, the champion, challenged Rousey for a match, to a title match at Money in the Bank.
Right, and this was, I believe, a very smart way for them to not just give Rousey the match, right? Like, just come out and announce it or have Rousey challenge her or whatever. This was Nia saying, like, hey, I need to kind of prove to myself that I can beat you. And, you know, Rousey even was like, oh, no, yeah, I don't deserve this. There's so many other women ahead of me. You know, so like, oh, okay, yeah, nice, you know, little over the top, but that's sometimes you need to give everyone every detail, so.
I love that at this random real-world event, Nia's just rocking the championship. Like, I really admire that.
They were, wasn't it, like, in China or something? Like, weren't they at some big thing?
I think so, yeah. I'm gonna look at that.
Of course she had the title. She's the champion. Every champion has their belt in a public appearance.
I like to, you know, in my heart, I like to believe that it was at the NBC Universal Upfront in New York City. But I like to think, like, in my heart, I really want to believe that they just go everywhere. Like, I'm going to go get a coffee. I got my belt. I'm going to get some dog food. Got my belt. Just all the time.
Yeah, really? So why would it surprise you that she had it here?
Yo, like, a straight-up question. You don't ever let me take the title that I have out of the house, ever. You've scolded me many times. If I were legitimately the champion, would you be tight that I was walking around with it? If we were going somewhere, like, you were going to a Met game, would you be tight if I had my IC title?
Like, if you were, like, Mojo Rawley and I was, like, Gronk, and I was like, yo, you know you can't burn that? I don't know. Depends.
Wow, I'd be super tight, man. can't even believe that. So even if I was legit champ, you'd be like, no,
like
it's too
like cruiserweight champion. I don't think so. If you're like the world heavyweight, then yeah, I think you're allowed.
Hall of Fame ring? I could rock that anywhere.
Yeah, of course.
All right, dope. By the way, the preview for Monday Night Raw is very exciting. Literally, the first page on it says, Sami Zayn invites Lashley's sisters to Monday Night Raw.
Yep.
I'm not sure. I imagine
that's
you
have... Good.
Imagine you haven't watched wrestling in a couple months, right? And you just put it on. You go to the website, you're like, hey, what's going to be on Raw this week? And the first thing you see is Sami Zayn invites Bobby Lashley's sisters to Raw?
But see, this is one of those things where, like, I'm looking forward to as little as a year, definitely 3, 4, 5 years from now, watching something, maybe this episode of Raw or whatever randomly, and like, oh, shit, Sami Zayn and Bobby Lashley had a whole thing. Oh, look, he brought his sisters to the... You know, Sami Zayn against Bobby Lashley, an entertaining story, and I don't mind that. It's an interesting pairing. Of course, Lashley is just going to, you know, run through Zayn, but, you know, him bringing out the sister, Sami Zayn playing up the heel character, it's been fun to watch.
Definitely love Zayn as the heel character. I just don't could care
less.
It's
also funny, like, WWE finds the guy you hate the most and pairs him with the guy you love the most, kind of randomly, so that's pretty funny.
Well, to be fair, listen, let's be clear. As much as Owens does things that make me angry, and let's say Ciampa did things that make me angry, right? At least I actually, as wrestlers, like think that those guys are good and don't mind seeing them in the ring. To put Lashley with Zayn is like making me not want to watch the Zayn match because, especially since, what is it? When I root for Zayn when he's going against as a face when he's going against Owens, he's, as you said, the ultimate underdog. He's not going to win, right? So now he's a heel, and now he's probably going to get destroyed by Bobby Lashley. Like, I can't win, man. I don't understand. And this is worse.
You know, maybe he'll sneak one out and get Lashley angry and lead to something else, or he'll just eat a couple dominators and it'll be the end of that for that storyline.
I hope that Zayn just snaps the headband over Lashley's eyes and then just hell of a kick and then wins the
match.
That'd
be great.
It's like, stop wearing a freaking headband, you idiot. Oh, man. But, speaking of Canadians, just this is totally off topic. But what I think what's really cool is the Super Smash Brothers that appeared in Ring of Honor, they've basically been waiting for a company to sign them so they have a work visa to work in the United States. And the Young Bucks actually, like, tweeted out to Ring of Honor, like, Matt Jackson was like, yo, make this happen. Like, sign them. That's crazy. That's not Matt being a character for the Bullet Club. That's, like, legit. Like, yo, Ring of Honor, everybody on Twitter should see this. Sign these dudes.
Right. I think they were on Colt's podcast. I'm pretty sure he said that the Bucks requested to work with them at the show, which I think I thought last week. You know, that's just awesome. And that's, shows why people like the Young Bucks. Because they know what they're doing. They help people out. They're, you know, putting people over, doing the right thing by guys, you know.
And an interesting wrinkle there, just randomly, what's his name? Nick Aldis is going to be wrestling on the Ring of Honor UK shows. Because they're going to have three this week. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I'm enjoying... I'm looking forward to the cards that they're having here, right? Did they announce, like, Tanahashi or something the other day?
I can... let's see. So I believe the first one is on Thursday. We have Briscoes versus Adam Page and Cody. Silas Young versus Joe Henry for the Television Championship. Sonata and Evil versus Daniels and Kazarian. Taylor versus Scorpio Sky, Shane Taylor. Kenny King versus Punishment Martinez. The Kingdom, Castle's going to be back, so it's Castle versus Lethal and Tanahashi. Sumi Sakai and Tennille Dashwood. Sumi Sakai and Tennille Dashwood versus Kelly Klein and Chardonnay. Nick Aldis and Mark Haskins versus the Young Bucks. And then the boys versus Toro, Yano, and Delirious.
Awesome.
So that's going to be during the day. It'll be, I think that's a 12, like for us, that's a 12:30 start time. So we are not going to be able to see that live. Well, unless you're not at work.
I'll happily watch that when I get home from work.
Yeah, me too. Then you're going to have the next night. This is what you were talking about. Dalton Castle versus Evil for the World Championship. You're going to have six-man titles on the line. The Kingdom. This is going to be crazy. The Kingdom versus SoCal Uncensored versus the Bullet Club, which is going to be really the Hung Bucks. Then you have a four-corner survival match. Tanahashi versus Silas versus Martinez versus Sonata. Lethal versus Briscoe. Lethal, I don't know. So you heard on the podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he got legit knocked out by the Sunset Powerbomb, yeah. Flip Powerbomb to the outside. We're going to have Cody versus Kenny and Kelly Klein versus Tennille Dashwood. So night two seems pretty strong. I've never seen, I don't know if you've ever seen a three-way six-man match. Or it's not, I mean, a nine-man match.
Right, yeah, no, and I'm definitely looking forward to these cards. You know, this was, you know, what I was looking for from the shows that were here. You know, some good singles matches, some nice pairings of, you know, guys we don't get to see all the time. So definitely looking forward to what they're doing here.
Yeah, they don't have all the matches announced for the last night, but Lethal versus Taven is something that I'm going to be looking forward to. Sure. Paige versus Tanahashi. I think it's going to be pretty dope. So they haven't announced everything. They probably have something with Castle involved at some point. But, man, it's crazy. Like, they're just running a lot of shows. And, yeah, I think you're right. It seems like this was, I mean, other than Kushida not being there, you know, Tanahashi's always pretty big deal. So, and you still have the LIJ guys there. At some point, I don't understand why they haven't done it yet, but I'd love to hear Ring of Honor bring in Rush. I mean, he's one of Los Ingobernables, right? I mean, Naito was down there in Mexico with him and brought that back, and then they did Los Ingobernables de Japón. So why they haven't done that yet, I don't understand. They're bringing up... we're going to be able to see Ultimo Guerrero and Titan, and then in June, because they're running a whole lot of shows, you know, in the stretch, they're going to have Atlantis and Guerrero Maya Jr., I believe. So they're bringing up a lot of guys recently. Like, and I feel like Rush is an easy one to have on one of these, like, you know, War of the Worlds or Global Wars or whatever, Honor United shows. Just match him up, you know, have him team with Naito. That would be dope. I'd love to see him throw up the fist.
Sure.
Listen, man, I know I told you about it before, but I'll tell our listening audience. La Parca came back to CMLL on Friday night. Super exciting. The chairman of WCW, man. Like, that... When the last time he wrestled in WCW? Like, 1999? Like, that... This is crazy. This dude is still around.
Sure.
But come on, man. Of all the luchadors that were on WCW... Now, granted, let's... Not Ray. Okay, other than Ray, for Ray and Eddie, right? La Parca's got to be the dude that you remember like the most, no? Like, don't tell me you want to see Psychosis first or Hoovy Juice.
Just because I remember him doesn't mean I care or want to see him in 2018.
That's literally what like makes me excited about stuff like this. Like, Marty Jannetty's wrestling. There's a tournament that's going to be like Marty Jannetty's in it and the Quebecer Pierre, Paul Cole Ouellette. Like, in 2018. Like, in 1995 at WrestleMania 10, the Quebecers were defending the titles against Men on a Mission. 1995, bro. Like, it's kind of crazy. All right, well, I guess we have to get back to Raw, which... Clearly, I think both of us were very excited about. But I'll just mention, what do you think about the Seth Rollins Open Challenge stuff?
Because it happened one time? I don't...
Well, no, I mean, he's still going to keep going with it because Owens basically stepped up and said he wanted it, and now they're going to do it again on Raw this week.
yeah, whatever.
I just think it's a little played out to continue to do that.
Right. Like, it's fine if it's done once in a blue moon, not when every champion has it and continues the streak, or, you know what I mean?
Especially because, like...
Or at some point, one of these open challenges, the person has to win it.
Yeah, they just, like, right away. Like, the thing is, with Cena doing it, it was like he was built, you know, he was giving guys a chance, like, he's an older vet, like... Seth Rollins is an older vet that needs to be giving people a chance.
No, but he's the workhorse, and so I get it, but, you know, like, it would make more... it makes sense to do it for both of them, but just you can't do it so close together.
How soon before No Way Jose goes the route of Adam Rose?
Isn't he already Adam Rose?
Well, people are still really into it, no?
Yeah, sure, but so were they with Adam Rose in the first 3 months. So
I guess, yeah, all right. You know, I mean, his music is really infectious, though.
Oh, it's great, and I like No Way Jose. He's a big guy. Like, it would be nice if, you know, he wasn't kind of just pigeonholed. And they make it work.
Is he the best dancing act in WWE right now?
I'm not sure there is another one, so yeah.
And really, I don't really take anything else away from Raw. I mean, it just wasn't... The Sami Zayn stuff was good. And Bliss qualified for Money in the Bank. And then we talked about the Roman Ginger stuff. The Strowman Balor versus Ziggler and McIntyre was okay. Nothing... I don't really like this random mixed tag. Doesn't really do anything for me. I just wasn't really into Raw this week. I don't know. But I thought SmackDown was a little better, maybe just because I was excited about somebody's debut. Finally, we had Andrade Cien Almas come out. I thought this was, like, excellent. You know, he gets a squash match, which I think is great. By the way, did you see, I don't know if you saw it, Austin Aries tweeted out, like, congratulations to his ex-girlfriend. I didn't know they broke up. He's like, I know all the sacrifices that went into this. Did you see that at all?
No, I didn't see that.
Some people were like, he's throwing shade. Like, basically, like, he sacrificed her so that... I mean, she sacrificed him so that she could make it to the main roster or something like that.
Nah, oh, well.
I mean, you had to know when she left the company, dude. Like, that was going to make things a little difficult.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe that added strain, maybe it didn't, and sometimes it's just meant to be. So, I don't know, it is what it is, and that's up to them. I didn't, you know, I read the results of SmackDown at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so I didn't even bother watching it after I did that.
Well, what kind of match do you think Nakamura picks for Money in the Bank between him and AJ? What stipulation? Because he won a match that gave him the right to do that.
Right. Yeah, I really don't know. I wonder if they do, maybe like he'll, I wonder if he does some type of like a strong style match, or if it's just some regular WWE stipulation thing.
Last man standing or something?
Yeah, like last man standing would make sense because they both just got counted down to 10, right? But, you know, whatever.
I hope. Do you think that there's any point we still get the AJ's wear the cups, you know, slash Roddy Piper wearing the shockproof vest moment? Because
who knows?
It's just really bothering. Like, I want that to happen so badly. It's been long enough, man. Like, there are kids who were literally born and have no idea about shockproof.
Right.
Anything else SmackDown that stuck out to you?
No, because I just read their results and didn't really think it was important.
I sent it to you. You didn't respond, so I'll bring it up on air. So in Brooklyn this last week, a man got his hair cut, complained to the barber, and was thrown through the barbershop glass. And Shawn Michaels retweets that and says, "I swear I had nothing to do with this." My God. I mean, Shawn Michaels is a genius. Like, I didn't even know he was that good on social media.
Well, I'm sure 7 million people sent it to him and, you know, questions it. But yeah, it was, you know, smart of him to make that comment.
You know, like, you literally, like, destroy kayfabe or, like, the world I like to create in which things happen, so...
Didn't he say, like, in the tweet, he said, thanks to everyone who tweeted me, but this wasn't me.
I guess I ignored that. In my head, I see Shawn Michaels sitting online, he sees this news report, and he's like, what the hell? And he's like, oh, I gotta tweet about this, because... Barbershop.
Yeah, well, I would have loved to think that, too, but he blatantly said, thanks for everyone who tweeted at me.
I don't even believe you. I'm going to have to look this up. I feel like you're telling a lie to all our listeners right now.
For everyone who asked, .. I promise I had nothing to do with this.
See, I pictured like people just coming up to him like he's at the store and they're like, yo, Sean, why'd you do that? So I didn't even... I don't know why I didn't make the connection that it was on social media.
Just walking past the barbershop in Brooklyn.
That's absolutely absurd. All right, so we covered WWE rather quickly this week. Do you want to touch on what do you think is going to happen with Keith Lee? As you know, tonight he's wrestling. As we record this, he's having the final battle, I think they're calling it, or the final war against Matt Riddle in Evolve. It's very clear that he's been basically fulfilling his indie obligations before he heads on to WWE. Do you think that he, you know, you see Dijak and a couple of other guys who came into NXT. Dijak hasn't even really been on TV, which is, I think, a crime. But you have a number of the guys who came to NXT, and they've been down there for a little bit. Do you see Lee, like, following that same path? Do you think he ends up being on the NXT roster for a while?
Yes, but, you know, I don't know that that's a bad thing at all. I think... You know, you complain about it all the time where, you know, there's so much talent on the rosters. I don't really have a problem with them getting, you know, some guys and giving him, you know, that little extra bit of seasoning. You know, Rush obviously said something he shouldn't have and is delayed a little bit more because of that. But, you know, him and Dijak are on the live events. They're on, like, the dark matches on the TV tapings. So... they're not long out from, you know, learning the process or getting comfortable and, you know, making an impact there. So whether Lee comes right in and makes a debut or not, he's, you know, that guy's awesome. So he'll be perfectly fine.
I am excited. I mean, overall, just to see him come to the WWE, you said it best. I mean, I'm always worried about... how much airtime these guys are going to get, and, you know, who's he going to feud with? Because really, NXT is like, I mean, look, without being insulting, it's like 205. It's like 205 Live indie version almost. You know, like
right, okay. So hold your thought right here. Where does he wrestle now? Like he wrestles right. Evolve and PWG and those places.
But he's Drake not is big wrestling and monsters Riddle's big. And. Who does he wrestle in? And if Sanity's
Lars,
going up...
Lars, Aleister Black, Dijak, anyway.
All right. I'd love to see him and Dijak again. They had some amazing matches.
Yeah, like him and Ricochet. Then he wrestles, you know, the smaller guys and, you know, throws them around. Or,
I kind of want to see him versus
it'll
Rush.
Be good stuff. Right. And that is 102. I believe they had singles and maybe a triple threat.
Yeah.
On PWG. And it was amazing. Leo Rush was awesome, countering Lee's just, you know, giant. So, you know, that it was a lot of fun. So I would be, you know, thrilled to see that in NXT.
And, all right. So I don't know if you know what today is. It's the anniversary of a sad moment. All right, you can go ahead. Yeah, because I'm going to bring it down. I'm going to make it sad. So I want you share
yeah, I mean,
your fun
we,
stuff
we
first.
We can discuss the best of the Super Juniors. Quickly,
that's
they've
smart.
Had they've had two shows so far, and the next one is the 22nd. I don't know if that's Tuesday or whatever.
Yeah, that's Tuesday.
So like whatever, they had a bunch of undercard matches with all the other guys. But then the first night was Block A, and ACH beat Flip Gordon in, you know, a pretty it was a really a fun match. I thought they both did a great job. The crowd was really into it. It was funny, like at the beginning, Flip was on the top rope, like doing his, you know, fist pump for the flips, and like obviously it was just silence because I don't know that Japanese people are going to chant Flip. And then he just like he did a backflip like off the rope, and there was like, oh. I was just like, oh, look at that. Like, all that hard work that you just tried to do, you figured out, just do a flip, and, you know, they're right behind you. So the crowd loved that. But, yeah, it was ACH was really good here. He got the win. Yo beat Bushi. That was another good match. You got to think Sho and Yo are going to have some success here. And then Bone Soldier, Taji Ishimori, beat Will Ospreay in the main event, which was just... Yeah, it was awesome. Really, really fun main event for night one there. Like, you know, Ishimori, like, took everything Ospreay had and then hit him with his finish and, like, got up, pumped his fist, and then kind of just, like, crumbled. So it was really well done.
How many nights does the tournament go?
A lot. Hold on.
I saw a little bit of the Sabin match. I was excited to see that he's having, like, so far. I mean, it's early on, but he's having a good tournament. Beating Kushida. Someone said online that it was, like, the battle for Alex Shelley's heart.
The final is on June 4th. And every show from now until then is Super Juniors. When 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and then the final. So 14 more shows. Yeah, so, yeah, like you mentioned, on the second night, you had Dragon Lee defeated Sho, and, man, that was a lot of fun. Dragon Lee is just...
Told you, man. He's my boy.
Dragon Lee is really good. Sho is awesome, so that was a lot of fun. Chris Sabin beat Kushida. That was a good match. It was, you know, it's important to establish Sabin a little bit here. So beating Kushida was, you know, a good way to do that. And then Takahashi beat Marty Scurll, in which, you know, I love that match. I thought it was really well done. They had a little brawl at the beginning, and you know, so I enjoyed both of those guys. So that was a great main event. You know, this was two good shows for. You know, to start off Best of the Super Juniors, you had, you know, like three or four matches that could be in the conversation for a match of the tournament already. So, you know, you just hope it continues to get better, and we just go from there.
How many guys make it out of each block?
It's just one. There's a winner from A and a winner from B. And I don't think there's like semifinals. It's just a winner and a winner, and then they fight.
You have any early choices?
There's a lot. Like, you got to think that Takahashi is a favorite, and Ishimori just coming back, and, you know, being thrown in the Bullet Club and having a good role there, beating Ospreay the first night. You got to think he's one of the favorites in the other block too. So it really could come down to anyone, but. You know, those are two of their early favorites, I think.
Let's see. This is tough. I mean, I think you'll end up getting, to be honest with you, looking at this list, I wouldn't be surprised if you get Ospreay versus Skrull as the final.
It wouldn't shock me, but I just Takahashi and Ishimori are, you know, obviously Japanese guys, and I don't, you know, Ospreay's won it last year. Ricochet's won it not too long ago. Kushida's won it recently. So, you know, I don't think, I think Ospreay, you know, not coming out of his block would, you know, mean something. But you never know, because either way, the winner of this is going to end up challenging him anyway.
Oh, that's so, right, yeah. So he doesn't have to win.
Right, he doesn't have to, but he could. And, you know, New Japan isn't afraid to do things like that. But, you know, I don't think he gets the win. I think, you know, they set up the next challenger, whether it's Takahashi or Ishimori.
So no chance that it's Dragon Lee taking this?
No, but, you know, he's going to have good matches. He already got a nice win. So you know, he'll be in the running for the last couple shows.
This is quality. He's quality. I mean, for me, Block B is the block that I actually probably like better. No offense to the guys in Block A, but just Sabin, Kushida, Takahashi, Skrull, right. Dragon Lee.
They have some of the bigger names, for sure. But you know, the best of the Super Juniors is just it's a fun tournament, and you know, all these shows are just, you know, all of these junior heavyweight guys, so that it's fun to watch, you know, because you don't really get that often, you know. Yes, WWE has 205 Live, but we all know what that is, and they're not, you know, having a 3-week tournament where it's only 205 Live on Raw and SmackDown and the pay-per-views, you know.
True. What I really liked was Skrull's promo, I guess before the tournament started, talking about how Ospreay's like, you know, I want to gain some weight, or, you know, these guys are trying to move up to heavyweight, and they're insulting the junior heavyweight division, and that, you know, there's nothing wrong with the junior heavyweight division. He wants to stay in the division and be proud to hold the title, and I don't know, it felt like super believable.
Yeah, Marty Scurll is definitely up there, you know, in the contenders for this thing. It wasn't great that he lost to Takahashi on the first night, because, you know, you would ideally like to see him get the win to, like, signal a big tournament, but he could always lose the first, then, you know, that makes him come back with the win, and we go from there. So it could definitely happen.
What happens when there's ties? Is there, like, point ties?
I think it's like, you know, if they won the match or stuff like that, because it's, you know, it's like round robin, so you're fighting everyone in the block.
Okay. Fair. And there's no extra points for, like, submission and pinfall is the same, right?
No, nah, it's just a win, yeah.
It's pretty exciting. I'm going to have to take a look at it. I mean, just, I can't, sometimes the idea of, like, it would just, like, 10 nights or something is a little much.
And these shows are fun because the first half of the show is the other block, you know, in tag matches. And then the second half is the four matches that actually matter. So, you know, since you're not going to be up at 2 o'clock in the morning, when you get home from work or whatever, it's easy to throw on, you know, just the second half of the show, and even, you know, fast forward or skip through a match or two that, you know, are just kind of whatever.
All right. So we got those covered. Is it time for me to make the show a little depressing?
Sure.
Do you know what today is? May 20th.
Macho Man.
Yeah. 7 years ago, I landed in Milwaukee as I was heading to Vegas for a bachelor party. And
you don't have to make it dramatic how you got the news.
I don't get a lot of... my phone doesn't blow up. I'm not going to lie to you. That never happens. I don't get a lot of text messages. I can go a day and go, hey, is my phone working? Because I've gotten no rings or texts. I'm a little confused here. I get off the plane, and I've got, like, 5 voicemails and, like, 10 text messages, and they're all telling me the same thing. Macho Man Randy Savage died. I think it's crazy. I mean, he 58 years old. Like, think about how we have everybody else around. We got to see, granted, Warrior died the very next day, but we got to see him come back and be inducted to the Hall of Fame, and we got to see Hogan inducted to the Hall of Fame, but we never got to hear Savage out there.
Hogan is still alive.
Yeah, Hogan's still alive. I'm saying, Hogan is, yeah. I mean, he might, he did some stupid stuff, and he might have been better off, but, you know, I feel like Macho's the guy. I mean, granted, he died, but I feel like he's the guy that, you know, Warrior, you can go back and, like, read or watch some craziness, you know, even... Warrior had crazy videos after Macho Man died attacking Hogan for saying that him and Macho were...
Isn't about Ultimate Warrior, but yeah, continue.
You know, Hogan's, obviously we all know, he's done some really dumb things in the recent past and gotten himself in trouble. But Macho Man feels like that guy who didn't get himself into trouble. You know, even Hart, who I don't think is on the same level, he's kind of done some stupid things or said some stupid things. But Macho Man just seemed like that guy who just... Never did anything wrong. Like, he'll always literally be, like, amazing. Like, just fantastic. I mean, probably one of the earliest high flyers that was out there. His baseball card says the greatest thing ever, that to improve his stance and his swing, he practiced dropping his elbow. Like, that said, that was on his baseball card before he ever became a wrestler. I don't know. It's crazy, but he's definitely my favorite wrestler of all time. Just unbelievable. I miss him. I've actually spent some of the day when I got a chance, when the wife wasn't looking, listening to some old promos. Just dude is an incredible wrestler, an incredible personality, and I legitimately think that we'll never see anybody like him again. Nobody with that intensity that's really believable.
No, and you know, he was a product of a different time and a different era, so you know, definitely a sad loss, and you know, the wrestling world would benefit from having all those guys around. So, you know, it's always a sad day when it's something like that.
I tell you, everyone was talking about Harry's wedding or whatever, and all I could think of was the only wedding that I've ever cared about. Well, thank God my wife does not listen to this show. aside from my own wedding, the only wedding that I really ever got super hyped about was Macho Man and Elizabeth, you know, which of course was sad because I think by that point they were basically getting divorced. And one of the saddest moments of my life was reading WWE Magazine where he wrote a letter about them getting divorced. I was like, that's freaking crazy. And I cried because I thought it was real. So, you know, you guys send us. Make sure if you have any thoughts about Macho, send us an email to runningwellpodcast@gmail.com. Like I said about my phone not working sometimes, we're wondering if our email account's working. So anybody, just send an email. We want to see if it works. Follow us over on Twitter at RunningWildLWOS, and you can follow us on Facebook at Running Wild on Wrestling, and leave us a comment, message, picture, anything you guys want. You know, your favorite promo of Macho Man. We'd really enjoy. I 100% will watch every single one of the videos or comments you guys send us. Let me see. You got anything else, Runs?
No, I don't think so. Evolve is off to a hot start with Tracy Williams beating up the end at the moment.
All right, so we're going to jump off and take a look at that. Make sure you guys check over at PWPundings.com and RHWorld.com. Follow my Ring of Honor coverage. I'll have reviews. I obviously won't be able to do any live reviews, but I'll have reviews up as quickly as possible for this week. And you can follow me on Twitter at Rich_Laconi. And until then, I just want to remind you that you guys have been listening to the podcast that is just too sweet.
For Rich and Runs, this is the host of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ian Riccaboni, signing off. Be sure to join them next week for another episode of the Running Wild podcast.